The podcast you are listening to of Holmberg's Morning Sickness is brought to you by my friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Trust me on this one. You've had barbecue before, but you haven't had it this good. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale, ericsfamilybbq.com.
When was the last time you had really good Texas-style barbecue? Eric's Family Barbecue, the way it's supposed to taste. Always delicious, never rushed, and prepared to perfection. Eric's Family Barbecue uses only 100% fresh meat, slowly smoked over mesquite wood until it's juicy and delicious. We all know their brisket is the best, but have you tried their pulled pork, pork ribs, or rib tips? Amazing, and their sides are all house-made. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Make the trip. You won't be sorry. Go to ericsfamilybbq.com for more information.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself. He's evil.
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, no, he's not evil. He's just a bit rude.
98
KUPD. Oh, God, here it comes. Oh, hot, 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 hot. Hot, 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 hot.
All right, here we go. Thank you, Weapon of Pride. Glorious beginning to a Friday. Boy, wow, the meatloaf love coming through the emails. A 57, I never understood that idiot. Jeez. Good riddance from the earth, Michael Adey. I guess that's his real name. Where's the other one? If you go to a dive bar and they have a jukebox, some dried out hag will play meatloaf. Leave immediately. That's very true. Another one said, I worked at a karaoke bar, or a bar that had karaoke. We had to ban Paradise because it's 9 minutes. No one wants to hear some fat lady singing that for 9 minutes, let alone the fat lady that sang it originally. John, just a quick question. Meatloaf concert or starring on a triple oh, God. Jump-starting a triple D guy. Is that the diner's drive-ins dashboard guy?
Whatever. Yeah.
So Guy Fieri?
I'd have to blow a guy. I'd have to basically say, blow Guy Fieri or go to a meatloaf show. And I got to think about that. You got to give me about an hour.
You got to think?
Yeah, I got to think about that.
Yeah.
I'd go to the meatloaf concert.
Food is involved in both.
Yeah. Ugh. But one has actually probably got some good food, and the other's Guy Fieri. Here's another one. So, and the Rage Against the Machine. Keep rage in their cuck world and stay the F out of Phoenix. We've already got a king of cucks ruling the city, Toledo. We don't need these libtards around here. Yeah. Libtards.
Got okay. You.
And then the other one was, I saw it on the thing. So, no wonder, it doesn't surprise me at all, Toledo had tickets to that libtard cuck show. Watch a bunch of cucks singing and dancing for a cuck in the audience.
Jesus.
People got angry at Rage Against the Machine, like mad. They got political. And basically, instead of being political, saying this is our stance, they told everybody else they were wrong. And I think that's the problem with like modern day politics and music. Back when, you know, John Lennon would say, I disagree with this and the war and all that. People hated him. I think if John Lennon was alive today, he'd be the most vilified human being on the planet. They would hate him. Politically, they would hate John Lennon. And, you know, just stupid hippie, getting naked in bed with that ugly Asian lady. And, they would tear him apart. And
let
they
alone
did then.
You're English, too.
Well, you're British telling that. America yeah. how to live. Yeah, and, you know, yeah, exactly. The bottom line was they hated him then. There were a good majority, but the fans didn't. The fans never turned on the Beatles so much. As man, the Rage Against the Machine, their music was not strong enough to sway their fans away from their political views. And again, like I've always said, you don't want to know the people that you like as far as celebrity goes. You keep that fourth wall up. That's what Twitter's done. That's why one of the reasons I think we fight so much constantly is because we don't have celebrities that put out an image. We have celebrities we get to know. You can talk to them. The last thing you want to know is your celebrity. They're the drama kids. You didn't want to hang out with these people in high school. They were the weirdos who did drama. And now these actors that we put on pedestals are able to have speak their minds. And so they're idiots most of the time. The majority of the time, they're just inflated egos that feel like they've done something special because they were stepped on as kids. So they're lashing back at society saying, I do matter. Drama kids never mattered in school. They got picked on. And now they're the superstars. The band geeks. The kid who sang in chorus, they go on to be the singers and stuff. And they were the ones everybody was pooping on. So then they get a chance to say what they want, and they scream it because they feel important. Rage Against the Machine, they're one step away from being a ballet troupe. You got to remember, all musicians, are barely
tender,
are barely manly. They're super tender. They all play tough because they have to. That's the image they're presenting. You don't want to get to know these guys. Again, I've always said this. I've never seen men crying more in my life than when I came to work at KUP.
Yeah.
This hard-ass rock station. This
shocking.
Bad mother effers everywhere. And the ones who cried the hardest were the ones who wore the toughest T-shirts and had the most like badass attempts. They cried like babies over little things. We came from the zone, Brady and I. I didn't see much crying there. Chicks and gay guys.
It's like, yeah, sensitive heaven.
Yeah, you'd think that was the one where if the wind blew wrong, we'd have tears. Uh-uh.
Go down the hall and you got that. You got that all over again.
They don't cry down there. I got to get they're dramatic, yeah. But they don't cry. This place cries.
Let alone just the whole, you know, even if you meet some of the bands backstage,
they're damaged humans, wildly damaged.
Like,
I
was
humans.
Uncomfortable a little bit. Try not to laugh at the same time. I know it's emotional, but yeah. Ivan, the first time, oh. You know, and then he starts talking about his daughter. And,
oh, my God. It's sensitivity. It's so sensitive because they're all damaged.
And then turns
guys.
Around. I'm going to
burn
my left for burn. Yeah. Burn this whole place to the ground. Yeah.
Like, we get it. You've got to lash out. You feel weak and powerless, and the rock music gives you that power. That's why you don't want to get to know them for real. You don't want to get to their music screams out, I'm angry and everything. That's their emotion. They can't get out. You should see them backstage. Oh, Korn was one of the most, it was the saddest thing I've ever seen. Four guys who just won't talk to each other. I'm not talking to Monkey today. No. Where's my baby? They all had separate dressing rooms and no one was
out
talking.
Earlier than me.
And they had their kids back
there. And they were afraid to fight out loud. They just, I choose not to speak to you. Silent treatments. It was the gayest things I've ever seen.
Who was U-Fest where they wouldn't go on stage without glass Perrier bottles?
Oh, that was
Danzig.
And OTEP.
And okay, OTEP
and
threw the
was
Perrier
coffee
thing.
Cups or something.
Danzig had coffee cup issues. Threw a fit. Like a huge
villain.
Like,
needed it in glass.
And I remember Nancy was in charge of the thing and said, well, that was OTEP wanted glass Perrier.
Yeah.
And he had a ceramic mug and he demanded a different type of mug because he's like, I can't have this ceramic whatever. And a huge baby fit. And you're like, Nancy said to me, I can't believe this is an adult. I can't believe I'm dealing with an adult. And I'm like, you're not. You're dealing with a fractured, broken rock singer. Whose only power is on stage. The only time that little man right there, that 5'4" man, I guess, quotes, feels power is when he's on stage screaming out the stuff.
We get Frau Bluka came in.
Oh, man.
Man would like that triple filtered water.
And OTEP was the same. She's very angry. And she was nicer, but she was fragile, too. You don't want to know these people. Rage Against the Machine, you think that they're up to... And then backstage, you're like, my God, in the rider, I'm supposed to get a fresh pair of socks for every show. It's like walking on clouds. And if I don't get my socks, I'm not going up there.
Jason Newsted blowing a gasket.
Trashed the trailer.
Oh, that's right.
Why?
I didn't get to play when you told me. They're playing during it. Right. There's another stage going.
There were two stages.
You said 12:30, and then this other band was going. Nobody could hear me.
Your band was better. They would have came and seen you.
Exactly. And by the way, Jason... You're playing a festival at 12:30. Be happy you got paid. Nobody came for you. You're an add-on.
That was a break-even for him.
You're an add-on. And then he trashed the trailer we gave him. And we're like, all right, I got to pay for that, you
dumbass. Here's your bill.
Idiot.
We didn't make any money on that show because those guys really screwed me.
No wonder you got kicked out of Metallica. And knowing him, he started on Metallica because they revealed when they pulled the curtain back on Metallica and that dramatic documentary about them in therapy and how much they cry. It's like, stop it. We want you to be the hero on stage. Skid Row, when we told Sebastian.
The only badass in that one was Lars' dad.
Lars' dad was the only one who had the image like, you are right. Delete that. And do not show people this. What are you doing? When Sebastian Bach was here and we talked to him right before the break and told him about the time I saw Skid Row without him, and they were begging the crowd for like $5 donations because they weren't sure they were going to make it to Tucson in their bus. It's like, no, you guys are you're the heroes right now. We can't have Superman say, I tore my cape, I can't do much. We just pretend you're badass. It's a show. They call it a show. Play pretend. that you guys are killing it, and then go backstage and go, oh, my God. Yeah, we're broke. This is bad. We're insolvent. But, yeah, rock music is full of image, and once you get to know them for real. Ooh, and same with the actors and stuff. They're all sensitive babies.
Yeah.
All comedians are just dark, broken psychological nightmares. But on stage, they say the things that they're afraid to say to people one-on-one. The only power they have is on stage. You don't want to know these people. Athletes are the same. You don't want to know them. You envision them one way, and then you meet them, and it's disappointing. That's why I always find that amazing when people meet a celebrity and they say, you know, he was actually really nice. We're surprised by it. That's all they have to do is be decent to you, and you'll be like, he's amazing. Because you want him to be.
And at the same time, if they don't say anything, then immediately they're
a hell of a guy.
He didn't say hi to me.
No, he didn't even look at me. He was just a real dick. Like, yeah, they're on that fine line. Don't meet him. I've met a few of my, like a local D-list celebrity, Doug Hopkins. I went to dinner with him last night, and he brought me a hat. And people recognized Doug Hopkins, like, because he was on that TV show and stuff. And Doug's like, oh, God, the table over there is looking at me. They recognize me. And Doug loves to play the game of, like, do you know who John Holmberg is? Do you know who John is? Asking waiters and stuff. We went to a really good restaurant last night, Cafe Monarch or Monarch Cafe. Another fine dining experience that the bill comes, and it's like, well, there's 13th house payment for this year. That's a little heavier than I expected. It's high end, very expensive. But we're sitting there joking around about stuff like that. I did learn something about Doug last night, just to get off the celebrity thing. I'll just go back. Even people who meet Doug expect him to be something from their perception. And when they meet him and he's nice to them, I'm like, well, okay, he was really cool. I met Doug and he seemed really nice. I'm like, what did you think? That he was going to take a swing at you? Your bar was so low.
You're going to try to buy my house.
Right. All he had to do was just say hi and be nice. That's it.
Yeah, no, I just didn't expect you to do it.
Well, that's because you have self-esteem issues. So Doug goes, this is a thing, because Doug's a middle-aged fella, right? So we're telling stories back and forth at dinner last night. And I don't think you'll mind me telling this. Doug is, every time he goes to urgent care, he gets his ass examined. He asks the doctor, even if it's for a sore throat. Every time he's
like
been to urgent
cancer?
Ass cancer?
Or
yeah.
just prostate?
His philosophy is it's all in the prostate. And if that thing's okay, I'm okay. And so if he goes to the doctor, that poor doctor's got another thing happen. Like, I need you to do something for him.
Doctor's like, oh, shit.
And Doug is the doctor. Like,
and he goes into urgent
once a week.
Care.
He's got a standing room.
52 times a year.
Stay a little funky back there, Doc. I'm going to check her out. Sore throat? Let's go back door. I think I know where the problem is. It's back here. He's the Louis Anderson of it.
And I tell you, the best time to go is at night.
Yeah, he's the, yeah, oh yeah, in an alley.
He's the heavy arena food this week, Doc.
He's the Louis Anderson of doctor's visits.
You see that ass back there? Why don't you take a gander up in that thing? I'll give you a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah, so we're talking in the middle of dinner. He goes, you got to get that thing checked. And I'm like, nah, whatever goes wrong back there, I'll die from it. I'm never getting that checked. He says, what are you talking about? And I said, the worst thing about getting your ass checked is that somebody finds something wrong. And now you got 14 appointments where people are digging around in there. I'm not interested in that kind of lifestyle. What I don't know probably can and will kill me, and I'm fine with that. I have no real ties to this earthly bond. I'm not super excited about finding cancer and beating it. If it's in my ass,
eat away.
Tip of the cap, cancer. You're a champion for a reason. You're undefeated for a reason, my friend, and I'm not giving you the benefit of knowing about it. I'm just going to ignore you.
You got 28 feet.
Yeah, put on the dress. Wolfley's like, put on the dress. Be a man and get your ass checked. I'm like, nah. And not because I'm afraid of having my ass checked. I do it myself sometimes. Put on a Kaiser helmet, throw a thumb in there, and I'm having a good time.
Yeah, but that's a different.
But that's different. I'm not looking for anything bad.
Right.
If I found something bad, I'd be like, oh, no. There's something in there.
You wouldn't stop, though.
Oh, I'd finish the job that I was doing, but I'm not going to be the one that knows what bad feels like. If it's that obvious that I know something in there
you'd
feels
know
bad.
Something odd, right?
If I knew.
Just Google it and read about it and then.
Bingo.
You've played around enough back there to know
I've reached
off.
In. I've swirled the bowl.
Sure.
I know where the smooth spots are and where the bumps hit. I know when something's out of order.
Ooh, that's a hemi.
But if something was to the point where I'm like, ooh, I'm worried about that. No doctor's ever going to know about it. I just don't care that much about getting better. Cancer? Well played, friend. You crawled in my ass, eh? Well, then I'll do anything to get better, but I won't do that. That's a meatloaf thing. But Doug goes, every couple months, he's like, I got to get it checked. I love it. I mean, I do it because of my health. Yeah, and he was trying to get the waiter to get in on it. You go to urgent care. They'll do it at urgent care. And I'm like, urgent care? That poor bastard at Urgent Care is basically just giving you antibiotics. Their only job is to fix UTIs and like basic stuff.
Biggest fingers.
They'll do it, evidently. Doug told me so. And he's, you know, I don't know if he's a fan of it or a big health guy. You have one health scare, it'll change it. I'm like, all right.
Is it in the family?
What, getting fingered? I don't know.
No, family. Prostate cancer or something like that.
Did he go to St. Tim's?
Yeah, he might have spent some time around Father. But we had a fun time last night. Doug's fun. Always get to drinking and storytelling. But he's big on health, so that was his message. So tell your listeners tomorrow morning that everybody should get checked. And I'm like, all right. If you feel like it, go crazy. I'm not against it. But I'm also not going to be too upset with you if you're like me and you're like, I don't need to find out anything's wrong back there. I'll go till I hit glass. And then, you know, something's got to be hanging out of there for me to go, I should probably go get this looked at. If I can touch it without going in, it's bad.
Yeah.
I have no interest in. You know, we could fix that. Yeah, we could. But that requires you being in my ass more. And
I got better things to do. I thought your solution back there was camphophonique.
Well, that's for hemorrhoids.
Oh, for hemorrhoids.
Yeah, I'm not doing that with cancer tumors. I'll try it. I'm not going to. Yeah, I'll do a home remedy or two.
Why not?
But that isn't, yeah, because I just don't have any interest in.
What about all the people around you?
Yeah, well, I don't want to burden them with rides back and forth to the hospital on that donut chair.
Can't sit down. You got to help me. I got to sit on the donut chair.
You don't want that assistance van showing up at your house.
My butthole blew out. Will you change my sack?
Can't drive.
My sack's full.
This isn't living.
Since the doctor closed up my mind, I got this side escape sack. Sack's full.
Go to bed with that thing hanging off the side of
you. Laid on my sack last night. Popped the top.
Oh.
We need a new mattress.
Oh. Tough to needle. You need to design a bed that's more absorbent.
Waterproof. Sack-proof. The new Tough to Needle mint scented mattress, just in case.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Crud.
Yeah, it's I get the two pieces of wood and an X over my anus. Abandoned mine. Danger, danger. Because the new hole's up here on my side.
Closed for the season.
Not interested. And to those of you who are, I'm not coming down on you. Good for you. That's just a will to live I don't have. I'm happy being around. Not going to take my own. Something's living in my ass. It's going to live in there until it gets me. And it's going to take over this vessel, and I'll be fine with that. Totally fine with it. And then and this is because I live in a life with this. John, here's a hypothetical choice for you, and I like these. Because the guys kept saying, what would you rather see, 311 or Meatloaf or this and that? Let's say Megan runs into somebody at the grocery store and recognizes the name, and it's somebody you talk about on the radio. She then invites them to your house for one of the Steeler parties. Which of these two would you rather have at your place? Father of the guy whose son acted out the special ed stuff to get nurse's aides to come wipe his ass, or father of the Hacienda aide aspiring rapper who knocked up the sleeping lady at the facility?
You have to take one?
I have to take one of these people to my Steelers party. Do I take the great Paul Menchaca Sr., the most undeserving man to junior his child ever, who junior, sharing a name with him, pretended to be retarded 20 times so he'd have nurses and aides come over to the house to wipe his ass when his parents weren't home?
I'm taking Menchaca. I think he needs a beer
and
some good friends to let loose and unload.
Nathan Sutherland's dad can lie about his son because he's not Nathan Sutherland Sr.
He's still a grandfather.
I'm taking Sutherland because you got the halftime show.
What does that mean?
You said invite him to the football game, so you got a halftime show right there. He can do his little Christian rap for you.
No, you're talking about the real guy.
The dads.
Oh, my
father. Okay, I missed that part.
The fathers of the bad guys.
Oh, I missed that part.
Why would I make Nathan's dad sing?
I thought I was making a halftime show.
Fake face.
Yeah. All right, Nathan's dad, get up there and do a little, I don't know.
California
knows how to party. Why am I doing this? California. Yeah, I think I'd take Paul Menchaca Sr. because his name was tied to the idiot kid forever, and he had to go to work the next day.
He needs some joy in his life.
With the news talking about Paul Menchaca the whole time, and he had to be like, hey, Paul, I saw in the news last night your son. You can't deny it. You're Paul Menchaca Sr. Jr. You passed your name on to this idiot who ruined everything about your first and last name. And you still have to kind of love him and stuff. You know, it's not a tragic thing. It's a, oh, no, we raised that guy.
He might be out by now.
Paul Menchaca Jr.
Jr.
Hopefully he's moved to like Wyoming or someplace small where no one has the internet. Because you look him up. How does he date on Tinder? Everybody, I met this guy. He seems real great. His name's Paul Menchaca. And I Googled him. Oh, my God. He used to play pretend retarded to have healthcare workers come over for $20 a day to wipe his ass. Because he'd get aroused. And then he'd full-on, like, hobble, thriller walk back to the house. And the one nurse got suspicious and followed him. And he was normal.
Wait a minute. That walk was normal.
Guys are so sad back on the sidewalk. It was totally normal.
I know about you.
Oh, don't tell my dad.
Puck you.
Yeah, I'm guaranteed she was Filipino is what Brady's saying.
A puck you. I want to do it. You tell me.
I want to go to a Rage show in the Philippines.
A puck you. I want to do it. You tell me. But Rage, come on, pussy.
Anyway, and then I got to get to this, Brady. I'm not going to pause it.
Okay.
There's a new thing for your kid to worry about there, Toledo.
New challenge.
New challenge to all the teens out there.
Please enlighten me.
Maybe he's done it.
I'll even the news story starts with this. The writer actually wrote this to start, and I bet you he has done it. Let me start off by apologizing as a journalist because the things that I'm about to write are really disgusting.
Put your egg muffins down.
Kids these days will try anything to catch a buzz, from boofing beer.
Sleepy chicken?
I think that's, yeah, we got the sleepy chicken thing. Vaping vodka. The latest cheap thrill will surprise you. The newest teen fad. I just have a drum roll for this.
Nothing surprises me. These idiots.
This will surprise you, Brett. The newest teen fad on the cover of Teen Beat. It's way worse than eating Tide Pods. Way worse than sleepy chicken. Some kids are boiling used tampons in water and drinking the resulting concoction in order to get a high.
I knew
you'd be surprised by it.
It's an unbelievable buzz. Oh, my God.
It's a serious problem. In fact, police all around Indonesia, luckily it's not in America yet, but I'm introducing it to you, kids.
It's on its way.
It's like the Omicron. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
They've arrested multiple teens caught using sanitary devices in order to get high. Some of the kids in Indonesia are collecting menstrual pads and tampons used. I don't even know how you go about that.
Well, didn't you say they had those tin boxes at like Tony Roma's and stuff?
Yeah. I guess that's it. You could go in ladies' rooms.
They're jacking them.
You're right. Just when we did that, we put a glove on to our shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
The cleaning out the kitty litter box, cleaning the... everybody was after tips. All us busboys were like, we want tips. But when it came down to, hey, guys, and it was always some lady, and then she just announced she's on her period. She'd come up to one of us. I was just in the ladies' room, and the tampon box is full. Oh, you just put yours in.
Yep.
There's a fresh.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah, there's a fresh cherry
only
on top.
Only one reason you're looking in there.
The cherry on that sundae.
Ah!
I go, oh, she goes, it really needs some attention. So then, of course.
Who was the Jack Nicholson that
it was,
came
yeah,
up to you?
Gene Wilder and Jack Nicholson guy. Bill Osborne. And he would always talk to the one kid that would look like an Indian. And he called him, what did he call him? Yellow Hand, because of his yellow glove he had to wear. Looks like a job for Yellow Hand. As long as the sun rises in the east, the great Yellow Hand shall clean out the menstrual box. Yellow Hand. And John, his name was John. Shut up, Bill. Yellow Hand, me need you. Lady have great concern about box full of blood. Oh, it was just awful. So we'd go in there. Never once did we think, hey, save these. But all of us wanted equal tips at the end of the night. We'd tip out equally. The kid who stayed the latest got a few extra dollars, but we'd work it out. The guy, the closer, was it, and we were real equal about it. If you ever had to clean the lady box, you automatically got the most tips that night. Like, we'd divvy out the tips, and that kid would win. It's like, you're going to get an extra 10 or 15 bucks out of the tip pool.
Yellow Hand made good money.
Yellow Hand did right. I used to love that.
Yellowhand's driving a Ferrari now.
Oh, and Bill was always so...
retired.
Osborne was so theatrical. He's like, like, what are you doing? I need the assistance of one Yellow Hand. Grab your weaponry, Yellow Hand. Let's go to the prairies where the blood flows. Much wampum you shall receive for cleaning. Shut up, Bill. I'm not even an Indian. Yellow hand, fight back. Strong warrior. Bill was a horrible human being. Anyway, these teenagers are collecting menstrual pads and tampons, and I think Brett's right on how they're getting them. Then they drink the horrid mixture in boiled water.
Horrid.
The chemicals.
Oh, horrid.
Horrid.
I know.
Yeah, used to sterilize the products for human use, give those who drink the resulting concoction a feeling of flying and hallucinations, according to the Indonesian National Drug Agency.
Jesus, just do a rail of coke and
exactly.
Done with it.
Exactly. What happened to the old... anyway, they use the pads they take from trash. They put them in boiling water. After it cools down, they wring them out. Then drink it. The boiled water plus the stuff. Like tea bags.
We get it.
Thanks, McMahon.
Johnny, no more.
They choose to utilize unused items occasionally, and they can still do that. But when they grow desperate for the high, secondhand hygienic gadgets are taken from the garbage. So you can still get a high from just boiling them straight out of the box, or you can get a high from boiling them from out of the other box. What's inside sanitary products that actually gets kids high? To be honest, no one really knows. Tampons and pads are regulated and approved as medical devices.
Thalidomide.
By the FDA. Is that what that
would
be?
Was?
No woman's putting that in their vagina. Yeah, nobody's.
I thought that was thalidomiding
in the 70s.
Can't they just?
Yeah, and all the babies came out
with it. That's why they.
All the babies came out looking like Chinese throwing stars.
Here, here it's taking care of.
Are you crazy? They're not going to put those back in.
Come on.
No, come on.
So it's the chemicals DDT? That are in the pads.
Yeah, they have little drones. Just drop DDT over them to get rid of all the pesticide stuff. You know, you can double up.
You're an idiot.
It's Indonesia. You don't know.
No, it's the
Agent Orange.
Yeah, we need to put that back in there.
So it's the chemicals in the pads
and
in the products?
Gotta be.
Why not just boil clean ones then?
Well, that's what they said that they can, but it's hard to get them. Because
it's
hard
expensive. To get clean. It's more expensive.
Expensive. Yeah, you got to buy them. So it's harder for the Indonesian kids to
get a goddamn job. The hell's
well,
wrong
now,
with you?
You wouldn't go in there and buy some pads.
I would instead of boiling
man,
used
it's
ones.
It's embarrassing.
I'd do what Brett said and just do a rail of Coke.
Yeah,
I'm not going to
exactly.
Do this. I'm not that desperate.
Spend nonsense. The money.
Yeah. Manufacturers are not required to fully disclose what goes into the pads. The companies have recently begun sharing more information of their materials thanks to activists who are pushing for full transparency. Don't you kind of want to know what's going on in there? One teenager confessed to consuming the concoction early morning, afternoon, and night. He says it's a bitter flavor. Come on. but it does make me feel like I'm flying. Indonesia's incredibly stringent drug laws are why teenagers turn to these types of methods. Because you'll get life in prison for marijuana.
I'll take the chance.
I will, too.
The boiling kills all the germs.
I think I just get high on life.
Yeah.
They're captured with the modest amounts of drugs they can discover themselves. It's an automatic death sentence for almost every drug with just possession. The products they're utilizing here are legal. However, they're being utilized in a manner that is like a drug. So they're thinking about making that, like if you're a boy caught with a box of tampons, you're going to jail for the rest of your life. Man, this one says
Grande, Gooch tea.
Yeah, Supernato described the procedure that the teenagers take in the mixture. They utilized the pads from the garbage and then the boiling water. They consumed it, and they would do it with straws.
That gets worse.
No.
And then one of the guys...
He named Jimmy Ginting. Jimmy Ginting.
I don't understand who began this. A supporter for the new group Safe Drinking in Indonesia informs the Jakarta Post. There's no law versus this until now. No law versus kids utilizing mosquito repellent, cold syrup, and now this.
Oh, they're strong enough. Is that boba?
Yeah. So.
Yo, man, what you need? I got Playtex. I got. Yeah. You want to get high? High?
Wings is going to cost you more.
Goddamn thing has wings, player. It's number five in Curtis Schumer.
You like a five? That's going to get you two. You look like a two. Day. You a two.
I need five Schumers.
I need a five. Man's running fives. He's the highest man I've ever seen. Playtex fives. I got Playtex.
Don't
I got
do
coaching.
Five, player. First time?
I got some Dollar General stuff that will knock your ass down. Generics.
And nobody can compete with me.
Hey, I'm the best in town, baby.
Don't get high on your own supply. Yeah. Don't worry about that, pal.
New Jack City.
Not happening.
They got a whole room of naked ladies down there just to make sure they're not mewling. Building tampons.
You got Pookie and Wesley Snipes up there.
You got Playtex. You got Kotex. I'll suck your...
Pookie's shaking over in the corner.
Keep your babies off the streets.
I'll suck your tray. Get me some tampons.
Just stirring cauldrons.
A witch's brew. So, again, high five, Brett.
Boom.
We never have to worry. Brady, your kid's going to be sucking down some of that juice.
Put it down.
Daddy, a boy at school just asked me for my used feminine hygiene.
How much are you getting?
Take pretty penny. Speaking of pennies, that's what the drink tastes like.
Oh, God.
In fact, that's my new nickname at school, Pretty Penny. Every 28 days, I'm rolling in dough. Red tide, I say. All right, boys, we had a heavy flow in January. Who's up for the bidding war? Ugh. I wrecked my sheets. Caught me off guard. Took down a pair of white shorts. I'll wring them out for the first kid gives me $30.
It's a whole new 16 candles.
Oh, it's just your kids are awful, and I don't like any of them. And now I have more reasons not to.
Somebody it's requested awful. Penny Lane from the Beatles for the wake-up song now.
How about, ooh, that smell?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. We'll put that on the list.
It's just Indonesian trash tampons. Again, you got to wonder who the first person to go, you know, there's chemicals in those that get you high. How do you know? Trust me. Okay, I'm in.
Boil it.
How does that crooked pot find a crooked lid to talk to? I'm like, sure, you do that on your own a little bit, and then you have the courage to, like, we're all good friends in this room, but if I was boiling tampons, I'm dying with that secret. I'm never going to try to talk one of you into, like, guys, you got to come over. I go through the trash on Fridays, and I find old tampons. I wring them out and boil up the water. By then, Brady's already gone.
What are you talking about?
Listen to me. This is great fun. Get a straw. Get one of the crazy straws. It makes it more fun. You feel it yet?
I don't know. We should be doing this.
Just hang out with me. You're going to have fun. We're going flying. It's better than the Bezos rocket.
Woo! Wow. That's good tampons. You ever try pads?
No, I haven't tried pads yet.
What are we waiting for?
Brady, you're dribbling a little bit there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Ugh. I look like a Halloween vampire.
Yeah, you do.
Jolene Baker just emailed in. Revolting morning conversation, fellas.
Yeah, well,
thanks for helping me keep my breakfast off the menu today.
Yeah, well, good. You know what? We saved you a little weight problem there. You can skip breakfast this morning. It's not me. It's those damn Indonesians. Don't get mad at me. Hate Indonesia. All of it. Until they straighten this up. But it's coming here. You're dumb. Like, Toledo, I hope your kid wasn't listening because that kid is going to be boiling water like immediately.
He ain't awake.
Be boiling water like Glenn Close and Basic Instinct. There's going to be some boiling. Anyway, well, go back to the old way of life and just walk into your kid's room this morning, smack him in the head and go, what in the hell were you thinking? What did I do? You were thinking something stupid.
You were born.
You're alive. You're going to do something dumb. Stay out of your mother's tampons.
What are you talking about?
Just don't ever, if I ever catch you.
I don't know what's happening, Dad.
Just raise your hand. I know what you're thinking.
Are you high right now?
Yeah, you'd be like, good. Oh, good. He's got... Honey, I was in a kid's room last night and I went through his top drawer.
What is it?
Oh, it's we're good. He's just got coke and weed. He's not doing any of that tampon nonsense.
You smell like pennies. You're in trouble.
Hey, you been at a copper bar?
What are you talking about?
Give me your hands. What is that? What is this? You been finger painting?
Oh,
oh no.
Come on.
And scene. Anyway. I hate your kids. It's getting worse by the day. That vasectomy of mine. Tell me what. You imagine that, though? I mean, Brady, you're always like, no. And remember when Brady said that day and the birds shot out of his ears?
No one will ever understand the love of a child.
Like, oh, that's disgusting. You're a man. You're in a room of men. Stop it. And then you raise that love and all that stuff. And then you go in the room and she's got a cauldron full of tampons she dug out of the trash so she can suck it through a straw and get stoned.
The love meter goes down a little bit.
Love meter's gone. I don't love anything that much. If I catch my mom.
We all make mistakes,
I
John.
Put her. No, we don't. I'm putting my mom in a home the second she's drinking out of a cauldron of tampons. Like, that's it.
crazy lady, we're putting you in a house, and I'm not going to visit that often. I don't love anything.
I'm getting $1,000 a gallon for this old man.
I don't get well. Then you've got enough to live somewhere else. You are not. Change your last name. This is embarrassing.
Go run that shine in another house.
Right. Yeah. You and Bo and Jesse and Luke.
Get out.
Get the hell out of here.
Run that jankum somewhere else.
Running your red shine. Daddy won't let me live here, so I had to move into the Haystacks apartment complex. Make my brew. Hey, it's day 27. Maybe if I can get a little extra. A little extra for the boys, you know. I don't love anything that much. That's third eggs. I think I dropped a few more than a chicken normally would. That's a lot of sloughed off inner lining.
I don't know if I have any left.
I'm dry, boys. All right. You got to wait till February. Right after the Olympics, we should have another brew. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Get into the designer stuff.
Now, Daddy loves you. I just need you to stop doing that thing.
That thing.
I don't love anyone that much. The only kid I would love is the one selling the tampons. So if Kirby's in the sales department.
Yeah, he's an entrepreneur.
You're smart. You're just taking advantage of the dummies like that. Good on you.
Anthony wants to know, is it like a fine wine? Does it get better with age?
Is it Jeffrey Epstein to want like the, would it be like a delicacy to get the first one?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Probably.
Probably.
Donnie says, John, look forward to our entry in Fladio 2022 as Indonesian trash tampon.
I like
we
that.
Are.
The trash tampons. 2, 3, 4. Yeah, pretty horrible. Doug Hopkins just text over, WTF.
Yeah.
I'm going to get checked. I added one part of that.
Jolene
he wasn't
says,
really that surprised. He just said, I'm going to go get checked. It's early. No lines.
Jolene says, you're going to have to talk to your friends at Copper Blues because I don't think I'm ever going there again.
Oh, I'm with you. That copper stink is rough. Anyway. And I think Doug Hopkins may have jinx-killed Meatloaf last night because I have not had a conversation about Meatloaf in ages. And Doug said the best Meatloaf. We weren't talking about the singer. He said we were talking about Palm Springs and stuff. He goes, best Meatloaf I've ever had is in Palm Springs. And I'm like, what? Yeah, I went to a restaurant, a steakhouse, beautiful steakhouse, and Meatloaf was special. And I said, the best Meatloaf I've ever had. I'm like, I haven't talked about Meatloaf ever with anyone.
Doug texts John the name.
Yeah, it's Sullivan's. And we laughed about it and whatever. And then when I saw the news, like, Doug killed Meatloaf. Nobody talks about Meatloaf. It was in the air last night. And then we got our fine dining, and then it was 8 courses, which is unreal. And then the last course is you sip out of this cauldron of, like, it's like some sort of sangria. I don't know. There was stuff floating in it.
Look like napkins.
Yeah, it looked like napkins. I'm like, what is this, some sort of trash?
Oh. And the guy goes, but it's a delicacy where I come from the region of Jakarta.
Oh, geez. He's a sommelier of tampon juice.
The Jakarta tea was really good.
Yeah, that was really, that last one. Feel a little floaty.
This guy wrote in, talking about reboots, new show, woman starts selling illegal drugs, called Breaking Pad.
All right. That's pretty, all right. Close it right there. That's solid. Well done. That's a champion's run right there. Nice job. You're hired as a writer for the minute. All right. What do you want on the big board of musical treats?
Well, wow. Sorry, guys, over at Action Ride Shop after that conversation.
Why?
But
you want to feel like you're flying on a bike?
Yes. Well, Action Ride Shop's the place to do it. They got everything in stock for you, Santa Cruz, Pivot. And if you're not into the bike side, they head on over to the snow side. They got all the skis, ski boards, boots, bindings, whatever you need. Action Ride Shop's got you Got you dialed in.
Too hot. Too hot.
Is your cauldron, huh?
Too hot.
ActionRideShop.com.
East Coast Brew.
Or stop in and visit them over there on Gilbert and Southern. Let's see here.
That's good menstrual cycle.
Oh, God. Last Tampon minute addition to it, wine. Chevelle the Red.
I hate your kids.
I hate your kids.
Sorry, I'm not. The Red.
Yeah,
stop it, you guys.
Somebody requested that one.
I shouldn't have done that.
Let's see here. Soundgarden, Big Dumb Sex, Deftones, Pantera.
All right. It's
Anthrax, STP.
Nicholas just said, do you think it's like orange juice where some people like it with and without pulp?
Oh.
Because it's cotton. It's going to leave some pulp.
I'm going pure premium.
I don't care, Brett. I'm not looking at the list.
Since the Tool show's tonight, let's do prison sex. That's up on the list.
So this changes the whole meaning behind the Playdio band Blood Eagle Army.
Oh, yeah, it does. Wow.
Yeah, it's Tool tonight, Tool show. And we just played a little Tool, but nothing wrong with doubling up on that. Right. We psych you up for the big show this evening, Tool. They're not afraid to do a show live, Rage Against the Machine, you hard-ass bastards that go against every norm that they stomp that government down. None of it's any good unless it's the stuff you agree with lockstep, and then you're just going to fall in line like a good little soldier. Way to go, Rage. I like Brady's name better. Comply with the machine. Comply completely and utterly with the machine. Never question the machine. You guys weren't going to get that. It's pathetic. We're protecting our fans. I thought your fans were a bunch of hard-ass dudes that were
fight off anything.
No, it was the crew. Backstage, maybe they had a...
Yeah. It's appropriate that Adele and Rage have the exact same story today. Neither of them can go on because they're so sad about, you know, the cold that they might get if they play.
It's cold and flu season. Rage Against the Machine is not going to go out there for that. We'll rage when the weather is better and we're properly rested.
We'll rage.
That's when we later. Plan. We'll plan on raging later. Right now, I'm a little bit under the weather, and I'm sleepy, to be honest. Not much in the mood for raging right now. Just more relaxing with the machine.
Complies. Someone requested. Yeah. I saw Red by Warrant.
Yeah. All right. Who was that? Broomhead?
No.
Okay. I hope Broomhead does a few minutes on this on KTAR.
He might.
He won't. Are you kidding? The KTAR audience would lose.
It might be in the top five.
You think it would be that kid that 12-year-old that tells Broomhead the news and then he starts going, yeah! Oops, sorry about that, everybody. I like that segment. He has a 12-year-old boy read him headlines and then Broomhead bitches about it for a few minutes. It's great. That's good radio. Broomhead gets it. And a 12-year-old boy, and then I yell at him for reading me the news. It reminds me of when I used to have to read at Sunscapes, I think it was called, when I had to read the newspaper to blind people. My first job in radio. It's great because, you know, you'd get questions later. It would go out as a broadcast, and I didn't have any access to it. And then there'd be, like, index cards asking me about the thing I read from blind people. Like, they couldn't do any research. So I'd read the newspaper to the blind, and then I'd leave, and I'd come back, and there'd be, like, a Q&A, like a big stack of index cards. And, remember that thing you talked about? That, like, yeah. Well, you want me to read it again? It was yesterday. I'm reading today's paper. And then I was just relegated to reading the comics. Because I would do voices for the stories. I didn't know you weren't supposed to. You should read the funny papers. Okay. And I did that. And I was a hit. A smash hit with the blind. Number one with the blind.
This boy reading the funny papers is fantastic. Beetle Bailey's his best.
And I would, like in Beetle, Beetle tells the fat guy,
so boss.
And I would do one of those things.
Oh, he's brilliant. He paints the picture.
And then I realized they don't pay you to do this. This is volunteer work. Adios, blinds. Figure it out. I thought I was getting a check for that. I had to go through an interview and everything. It was just volunteer work. What am I talking to the boss for every day? There's no boss if you're not paying me. I just show up when I show up. I am the boss. I really don't think I like the way
12 hours a day I was reading.
He sat in a couple meetings. I'm like, what's going on? This guy's yelling at me. Payday will make all this worthwhile. There's no payday. Volunteer work. Why? There's Braille. I'm going out of my way for them.
So long.
Yeah. Adios. I just, you know what the worst part of that one is? I just stopped showing up. No call. I wasn't really an employee. Turned out I stopped volunteering. And now I read the paper to the blind every day. Same thing. This is exactly the same thing. Now, Broomhead does it. Everybody on the radio is reading to the blind.
Yeah.
There's no visual. And tonight, singing to the blind, Tool. The show, but this one wasn't ever postponed, was it? This isn't a redo. This is a, they planned
it. I think it was postponed once.
Was it?
Okay. I think once.
I don't remember that. Oh, so many did.
But only once. Not like Rage where it's Rage. Three,
it's
four
still
times.
A little chilly. We're coming out after. If it's 60 or higher, we'll be.
Well, then we'll rage. Or arr, slap you in the face. Slappity slaps. We're raging.
I'm a tough guy. My name
Come on!
Zach. I'm Rage. Arr.
It's 58 degrees, Zach, and there's a cold and flu going around.
Ooh, cancel it. We can't rage in that kind of danger.
Come on.
No, I don't want to. Whatever
you
it
want
is.
It?
What is it? I don't want
to
know.
I went to Action Ride Shop in Indonesia. All they sold were menstrual cycles.
Indonesian menstrual cycles.
Nice job,
at
Rex.
Action Ride Shop. That's funny. We got the Pivot. Those mountain bikes. Great bike. This here's a child's bicycle, and over here is the Indonesian menstrual cycles. It's just a bucket.
Oh, yeah. I'll take the Flow model.
That's a five-gallon bucket. How do you call that a cycle? Oh yeah, you'll see.
And everybody's all over it. Action Ride Shop should have an offer every 28 days. Half off any blood-red bike, a.k.a. the menstrual cycle.
Why half off, though? Just, you know, don't break the bank here. Let's just do a 20% deal.
Yuck.
Nice job, Billy. Man,
the red sail.
Kids in Indonesia. It's all bad.
Arizona's most powerful rock radio station.
He said, fully erect.
You've been listening to Holmberg's Morning Sickness Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Eric's Family BBQ.com.